The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, before we get into the episode, I want to just thank everyone on Patreon. That's right. You are the people who make this happen. Gene, Eugene, DX, you're new to Patreon. Thanks for joining us, dude. I appreciate it. Sean, Richmond, Mario, Charance, Andrew Miller up in Canada, Jeremy Weltman, Chris Riley, Johan Enderstrom, Steve Rodriguez, Tommy Anderson, Gregory Muse, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo from Alaska, Brad from Arizona, Richard Langridge, Dan Gerwan, Jerry from Long Island, Sam Soupy, Drake from Drake, where are you? Washington State, I think. Joe from California. That's Joe Ryan. Matt, Carol, Jason, Seth, Stephen from PA, right? Stephen Saylor, Ron Keel, Sean Francois Blas, Anthony Mackey, James Bennett, David Gray, Fred Rutz, Michael Street, Mike Jones, Steve Hoker, Jean Bovary, and Metal Dan. Thanks, guys. You are the people who make this happen. All right, Happy New Year, guys. Talking Metal is back. And what we're going to do today is do our live stream audio. If you want to watch the video for this, it's up on YouTube, youtube.com/talkingmetal. I'd appreciate it if you subscribe to that YouTube station. That would be awesome. And let's do this. This is the live stream, unedited, in its entirety, recorded on December 10th, 2020. And, Hope everyone had a happy new year and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all that stuff. So here we go. This is, we're going back in time here, December 10th.
Hey, hello. Welcome to Talking Metal. We are streaming live here on YouTube and on Facebook. John, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you? I love that mic stand and that de-esser, which is that circular thing you got.
Yes, yes. You have to kill those popping peas and the slick S's for sure. Great to be hanging with you. The Talking Metal podcast is technically, for the first time in over 15 years, in hiatus, or not hiatus, just taking a 3 to 4 week break, the first break that I've had with the Talking Metal podcast in literally 15 and a half years. But, you know, we are always talking, John, and I said, why don't we get on and do a live stream? You know, we'll resume the podcast the first week in January, but to nice. Hold us over, we got a great live stream happening tonight. Why don't you tell us who's on the show, John?
So we've got four guests. We've got the one, the only, Ace Frehley.
Oh,
how great
God.
Is that?
I don't feel worthy, but yeah, it's awesome.
Ace is going to come on and give us a little update. He's got some cool stuff happening, and we've got some other great guests. We've got our old friend David Ellefson coming on. Why don't you fill us in on what he's going to talk about?
Yeah, Dave is going to be here with his friend Drew, and they're talking about a bunch of projects they have going on, including a movie and also a fictional book. I mean, David Ellefson has written a couple books already about his life, but this is actually a fictional novel that he wrote with his buddy Drew, and Fortier, I believe is the way he pronounces his name. I have it written down. I should have checked that. But yeah, they're going to be on to talk about these two great projects, and I'm sure we'll get an update on Megadeth from David too. So I'm totally psyched to hear from them. And of course, Jason Bieler of Saigon Kick is going to be on. He's got a new album that's on the way, and they've released one song off of the album. And I must have listened to that song. I think it's called Apology. I probably listened to it about 10 times today. It's so freaking good.
The song is so good that I can't even begin to think about how you would produce a song with that much going on in it. And it just sounds great. And it sounds like it was a lot of work. And I'm really looking forward to talking to Jason. So we got a great show, Mark. I'm getting ready for the holidays. I am going to be here in the state of New Jersey for Christmas this year. This will probably be the first Christmas I'm spending in this area in maybe ever. And I already got two Christmas presents. I would like to show them to you and to everyone. My parents bought me two pairs of Danfoss boots. This is a ostrich skin, and this is a python pattern that's different than any python pattern I've had before because the belly is on the side instead of the top. So I'm pretty psyched about that. I've got two pairs of boots, and I'm getting ready
non-PETA safe boots. I love it. Correct. I love it. Great stuff. Yeah. Now, John, I remember back in the day, you used to – didn't you have a pair of snakeskin boots?
Yes. I've always had snakeskin boots since, I would say, 1987 is the first time I had a pair of snakeskin boots, and I've been wearing them since. And I was wearing them when people made fun of me for wearing snakeskin boots, but now I've brought it all back. And I'm ready to rock the boots.
Well, we got a lot of people on the stream watching. Emily is watching. She says, she actually got new cowboy boots too. So it's so funny because earlier today, or was it last night? I can't remember. She was actually showing me her new cowboy boots. So the fact that two of my wife and my best friend have both gotten new boots. So
we gotta get you set up with a new pair of boots, Mark. That's the goal here.
Yeah, I haven't had cowboy boots since about 1989, but so I think I'm due. I might have to shop.
I think you gotta get a pair.
And you got. I had like these real cool ones, like a chain hung beneath the heel. It was intense, but cool, man. Well, I'm totally psyched to talk with Ace and Jason and David and Drew and. Yeah. Really, really excited to hear about Jason Bieler's new record because, again, this song that he has on on iTunes, or not iTunes, it's now Apple Music and Spotify, Apology, I just think is great and epic. And he's got a lot of really cool guests on the record with him. I know Ace has Origins Volume 2 out, and Ace has got some just awesome guests on that album too.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Everybody from John 5, the lead of Ford, Robin Zander, and more. It's a great record. He's got the guys from the Talisman on the, which is his band. He's got Matt Starr. He's got a lot of great musicians on the record. And I still like to call it a record, even though, and it is a record. It was put out in vinyl as well, but it was in other formats, including CD and, of course, streaming. I want to plug the great Dash Vodka. Thanks to Hank and Rudy Reeves. This is handmade in Texas, and this stuff is the best. And you know who really likes this? Chip's Enough.
Oh, okay. Did you get some out to him?
Yes, we did. And Chip and my cousin Hank are like best buds now. So they're talking. And Chip works for Dash Radio. So maybe we'll put something together with both Dash companies.
That's awesome. Yeah, Chip. Now, when we started doing these quarantine live streams, Chip was definitely one of the first guests. Was he the first? Or was David Ellefson was also one of the first guests.
David was one of the first guests. We had the guys.
It was like back in April, I think.
We had a lot of cool guys. Phil, I think, Phil from Ace's band was one of the first guests, if not the first guest. And
Yeah, that sounds about right. We had Simon Wright. We've had Ron Keel. We've had Jeff Pilson. So do you know, I get on Zoom every week now with Jeff Pilson of Dokken and Foreigner fame. Yeah,
that's right. What do you guys just talk amongst yourself?
No, we don't talk at all. He talks. I mean, we say hi. It's and he does a meditation class via Zoom every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And you get on there and it's a bunch of people on Zoom and he leads you through his guided meditation. And it's definitely a great way to start the week every Monday night. And, you know, it's there's no talk about rock or anything like that. It's just Jeff Pilson doing his meditation class. And I honestly think there might be some people in the class that don't even realize that this is Jeff Pilson from Dokken and Black Swan and you know, all his great bands through the years, Foreigner. So it's a lot of fun. Every Monday night I've been doing that. But I was thinking, you know, he we had him on a while ago. I'd love to get him back on the live stream to actually talk about meditation, because I think it's a whole side of him that no one knows about.
Right. That, just like Kerry King and his snakes. A lot of people didn't know he was a snake breeder.
Yeah, Kerry King is a snake breeder. John and I went to his house, and he wrapped snakes around us. There's video of that and shots of that. And when I ran into Kerry about 4 or 5 years ago, I said, remember I came to your house and we did a shoot there with the snakes? He's like, I don't remember that at all. That's but it may have been because we picked him up from a bar and then we went to another bar and then finally we ended up back at his house. So,
that was a trip and it was a trip to be on that trip. We went to Glenn Danzig's house, which used to be Lucille Ball's house in Bel Air, California, which is even higher class than Beverly Hills. And we had a blast. We hooked up with Mike Patton at a when I heard Toy Store, I thought we were going to be going to like a mall in Toys R Us. I did not know we would be in some exclusive hip store on Melrose. And that was very cool. So we had a blast. We ran into a bunch of rockers outside of the Rainbow, including Phil Soussan from Ozzy's band and Carlos Cavazo. And that was just a total trip. That was just by accident. Vinny Appice was out there. I think it was Phil's wedding, and they were all hanging out outside.
That is correct. And Phil, of course, now playing with Last in Line, playing Dio classics with Vinny Appice from Dio's band, and of course Vivian Campbell, also from the classic Dio lineup, if you will. So it's interesting. He went from doing songs with Ozzy, and now he's actually technically playing Dio songs. Great stuff. Somebody I've never interviewed, actually, Phil. We hung out with him a little bit that night at the Rainbow, but I never interviewed him.
We get him, right? We should get him on the show. We are very happy to be here. We're minutes away from the one, the only Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, Ace Frehley. So we got a great show, and I know we got a lot of Ace, fans watching this stream right now. And we're going to get an update from Ace. We're going to find out what he's up to, and we're going to wish him, Merry Christmas.
Right on, and we're hoping we're just about done with 2020. This may be the last time you hear from me on Talking Metal in 2020. Again, 2021, I know we're going to hopefully get our concerts back sooner than later. You will be getting Talking Metal back, the podcast, on a regular basis, definitely weekly. I also have launched another podcast, John, which is called Talking with Mark Striegel, where we talk metal and rock on that, but you know, we can go outside of metal. We can talk punk, we can talk alternative, but we also talk science fiction, we talk fantasy, comics. Right. I had an actor from the hit TV show The Walking Dead on, and we spoke about comics for a half hour. So it's been a lot of fun, and that's something you can subscribe to on iTunes. And or not iTunes, I always say Apple Podcasts. iTunes is basically gone, you know. It's like it's Apple Music, Apple Podcasts now. Apple
I have TV. An announcement. I have an announcement. Breaking news. I'm going to start a podcast. So you got the Talking with Mark Striegel. My podcast is going to be called Metal with John Ostrowski or Astronomy. And all we're going to talk is metal. No, I'm kidding. I'm just you get it? You get it?
Yeah.
So you're talking and I'm metal. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
I just came up there with that idea. I'll do it. But no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know, believe it or not, there are a few people with some podcast names that are very close to ours, and we technically do own the trademark on anything talking metal, talking rock, all that kind of stuff. But we've been nice, and we haven't went after anybody at this point. So
there's Metal Talk, which I think, and there's like Talk Metal, and then there's Rock Talk and Talk Rock. I think there's like two or three Rock Talk. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of talking going on out there. There's even Talking Sopranos. I saw that the other day. Sopranos, where they talk about old episodes of The Sopranos. And so go on, John.
I remember that you got this, the inspiration came from something called Talking Baseball, right?
Yeah, which was a show that was on TV like on a Sundays, I think, in the late 70s. And I've Googled Talking Baseball. I find no record of it at all. So maybe I dreamt the whole thing.
Maybe you just dreamt it.
Yeah, but I seem to remember I used to watch a show called Talking Baseball, which would be a recap of everything that happened in baseball that week, you know. And I was into, when I was like 9-10 years old, I was really even to like 12-13, that age bracket for me, I was totally into baseball. I loved the Yankees, the Brewers, I'm trying to think of who else, Chicago White Sox. I did go see the Cubs, who are the favored team in Chicago, but I was actually I saw them once play a game live. But the White Sox, I went to probably like 15-20 White Sox games when I lived in Chicago. Cool. So
I used to go to Pittsburgh Pirates games.
Yeah, you know what drives me nuts, like on my computer here, I don't know if you hear those bings, but I have no idea how to shut off messages.
I don't even hear them.
Yeah, so it drives me crazy because everyone knows I'm streaming and they're like texting me, like, so it's if you're watching, guys, please don't text until after 8 o'clock. I'm getting literally like 10 text messages every 2 minutes here. So I won't be able to respond. So Talking Baseball and the inspiration for the Talking Metal podcast. Now going into our 16th year, John. 16.
Amazing.
2021, we will turn 16. And
that is crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts. It is nuts. And there's been so many great guests along the way. A lot of them that have left us, unfortunately. I was going back through the list of things, including our first guest, CC Banana, who was such a great comedian and fun guy to be around, and sadly left us a number of years back.
No doubt. And that's sad. And then a lot of the artists, and one artist that played with one of our guests tonight, Chuck Mosley, a former Faith No More singer. Frankie Benali. Just really sad. We lost Frankie this year, which was a tragedy. We're keeping it going, and we're keeping the music alive right here on Talking Metal. And just happy to be on. We want to thank our crew from SDN. They are making this show possible tonight, and they're the responsible for all the technical stuff. So it's very, very cool.
Yep. Right? We are just waiting for Ace. I guess he hasn't quite logged in yet. So hopefully we'll get him soon. Do you want to ping him, John? Or is that not, whatever you want to do?
No, yeah, he I just talked to him a couple minutes ago, so
okay, all right,
he should be getting ready soon.
All right, perfect. Yeah. Cool. So John, it looks like the guitar collection has expanded behind you. Is that the case?
You know, I just set him up a little differently, but okay. So here, I'll give you a little diagram here. So we've got the SGs and the Strats and the couple of acoustics. There's one more acoustic I have, but it's actually at Ace's. and then on this side, we've got the Ibanez Iceman, Paul Stanley models.
Right.
Beautiful. We've got three Explorers. We've got a V, Gene Simmons Zach's bass, the Firebirds, and all the guitars on this side, almost all of them are shaped in the general shape of an Explorer. So it's just weird how I set them up. I like all the shapes to be going the same direction, you know? And then I've got the Les Pauls downstairs. Then I got a few miscellaneous ones just scattered about. So
Cool. And is and the drum kit there, is that the new kit that you just got?
Yeah. So right here is an electronic drum set. I really wished I could have like brought something on, but when you do that, you got to take it all apart. And it's like a production. But I've got a new set of Simmons drums, and I'm going to use them to record demos here. And then I can go into a real studio to actually, you know, if I were to record a song, you know, for real. So.
Well, you sent me a little clip of you playing those drums. It was like a Blue Murder song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were playing guitar and bass and drums, and it sounded amazing. I couldn't believe
it. Thank you. Yeah. And I didn't even know how to work this. I swear to God, I got this thing. It's called a Focusrite, and it's this little box. And it was the first day I got the Focusrite. I didn't even know how to hook these drums or the guitars up to it, and I still don't even think I'm doing it right, but it's like out of the box sounds pretty good. And definitely, right. I mean, you remember using four tracks and all that kind of stuff back in the 80s. And this is like, you don't even really have to know what you're doing. And you can get, you know, something that sounds pretty decent. So it's pretty cool.
All right, cool. And we were talking about, we haven't spoken about this in off air, but I'll mention it now. We were talking about doing a quarantine video for a Kiss song. Is that something we could still do, maybe?
Well, now we can even do it better because I can easily record these drums, because it's always hard to get a drummer because you got to have a studio and you've got to have all kind of mics and stuff. But with this, I can easily record a drum track.
Cool. Well, we should do that. I learned the song All Hell's Breaking Loose. Now, I'm not exactly sure who we could get to do the vocals on that, but I think it could be a fun one. You know,
that would be great. Yeah. No, I would love it. I always like that song, too. So I think it's cool. So so, Mark, while we're waiting for Ace to log on, because he's coming up from doing heavy construction, and he's got to get his computer set up and get ready and get logged on. But while he's doing that, what are you been up to? So you're doing the homeschooling stuff?
Yeah. We're doing, the kids are not back at school physically, but they do every day they do their homeschooling, and they then play video games and stuff. And they have a hiking club once a week, which I think ends next week. But that's been awesome because it gets them outside at least and hiking through the forest for a couple hours. But I've been really working a lot behind the scenes on podcasting. So when I say things are going to come back strong in 2021, they are. And I'm getting up a lot of times. You can ask Emily, it's driving her nuts at 4 a.m. and working on a bigger plan for not only Talking Metal, but the Talking with Mark Striegel podcast. And let me just say that very shortly, you're going to be seeing a lot more of that Talking Metal logo, a lot more news about Talking with Mark Striegel podcast. We're going to gear up the promotion machine and really hit hard. And listen, if you are out there and you don't subscribe to the Talking Metal podcast, that is really important. We need to get our subscriber numbers up. So please go to any, it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Subscribe to our YouTube page. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Yep. That is key, subscribing to the podcast. And you know what, Mark? I'm glad I didn't do this yet. I want to get one of those mic stands like you got, and I'd like to get a new mic, and I'm just going to get exactly what you have. So you have to fill me in.
I'll send this to you. My friend Chris turned me onto this.
Yeah, it's good. I was looking online.
Okay, so this is $13. Yeah, but we got Ace is here, John. So we were going to patch him through right now. The one and only. There he is. Ace, how are you? So great to see you.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, we can see you, Ace.
Ah.
How you doing?
I've been working all day in my studio, so I'm a little fried, but...
you're looking good.
I'm happy to be on the show, and, you know, I'll do anything for John. We've known each other forever.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ace.
And Ace, do you remember meeting John for the first time? When did you guys first meet? Do you have any memories of that?
He was about 16 when his parents brought him to a Kiss concert in the 70s. Is that right, John?
It very close. It was right when Fraley's Comet started in the 80s. But I was 16 or 17. And that was many years ago. And I'm 51 now. So we've known each other since I was in my teens.
Yeah. Long time.
Amazing. Amazing. So Ace, tell us about what you're working on. You're laser focused on building a real recording studio. And I'm not talking about a computer with Pro Tools. You're like, you got construction going on. You're building a real studio.
Well, it's not the first studio I've ever built. If you remember, in the 70s, when I lived in Wilton, Connecticut, I spent $800,000 building a studio underground next to my home. But, you know, studios are nothing new to me, and I design them wherever I go. Wherever I live, I always have a place to work. But, you know, the new place I'm in now has a 3,000-square-foot basement, so I got plenty of room. So I made a large control room, and I just was finishing up the drum room today. And after the new year, I'm going to start recording my new album right in the basement.
Wow, nice. That's amazing. I was going to ask you, Ace.
The beauty of it is because of this virus, you know, everybody's supposed to stay home. Well, I don't have a problem staying home now because I work from my house anyway.
Right. Perfect, Ace.
Wow. So, Ace, you're already writing the music and then you'll record it, or you're waiting until you finish the studio to begin writing music?
No, I've been writing all along. Plus, I have tracks that I've already recorded that I have to revisit and decide whether they have a chance to make it on my new studio record, have to be rewritten, or are just good the way they are. And I got people sending me song ideas constantly. John has sent me some ideas. You know, my road manager, Pat Lamarck, and other people keep sending me stuff. So, you know, little by little, you know, it's an ongoing process and it evolves as it goes, you know.
Right on. Well, I know you're not with us for very long tonight, but I did want to touch upon the new music video that came out today for I'm Down off of Origins Volume 2. The adventures of the space bear continue in this new music video. It's a great watch, and there's so many little nuggets for us hardcore Ace fans in there. Did you help come up with the concept for this video and the space trucking video?
I had nothing to do with it. You know, the record company has this great video guy who makes funny videos, and I think Ken Gulick and Scott Givens has a lot to do with the ideas, but they just, you know, put it together and showed it to me. But, you know, in computer lingo, there's a lot of Easter eggs in it.
Right on. And back to your new album, Origins 2, which is out now, a great collection of covers, a lot of really cool special guests. I wanted to ask you about one of them specifically, Lita Ford. How long have you known Lita?
Well, I remember touring with Lita when she was in the Runaways, you know. I went out with Jackie Fox for a short period of time, you know. And, you know, I've known Lita and I've known Joan and all the girls from the Runaways. And I'm still good friends with Lita and Joan. And I also bumped into Jackie Fox about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when I had a record party at the Rainbow in L.A., you know, and she's still kicking and rocking.
Nice. Cool. John?
Thank God everybody's still around.
Yeah. You know? So, Ace, you had a lot of great artists on this record. You had your good friend John Five. You had Robin Zander, you know, people from back in the 70s, people from now. And you even had Bruce Kulick from, you know, formerly a Kiss on a song. How was that? How did you put that together?
Well, that was great. I mean, Bruce, when I did the Kiss cruise a couple of years ago, Bruce was on it as well. And, you know, he heard I was doing an Origins Volume 2 album and he expressed interest in performing on a track. So I said, you're more than welcome to. And, you know, we're both big fans of Jimi Hendrix. So, you know, we picked that song for him to play a solo on. It worked out great, you know.
Totally, Ace. Yeah. Now, Ace, I can't wait to see the recording studio. And tell us something just unique about this studio that you're doing.
Well, what's probably different about this studio than any other studio I've had in the past is that there's going to be a star mural on the ceiling. I'm using these new technology LED lights that, you know, I can change colors. And also, they react to the sound. So, you know, when I'm doing a playback of a song, you know, the whole room will change colors just because of the music. And it's going to be a trip. I mean, I haven't installed the LEDs yet, but, you know, I have a sample of them on one strip. And, you know, but by the beginning of January, the first week in January, we'll probably be full tilt, you know?
Awesome, Ace. And I know that you have some plans in the future about expanding it, not only as a recording studio, but into a video studio where you've got edit rooms and, you know, wow, people can cut movies and videos there as well. And film scoring, which is something I know that you've always wanted to do.
Yeah, I'm setting up a video editing suite where, you know, you can edit rock videos. And I mean, I have 5 acres, so you could even shoot a video here if I wanted to. And like I said, the basement is 3,000 square feet, so there's plenty of room to. And even my drum room has a little stage in it, you know, that probably you could do some shooting in there as well. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a multifaceted, you know, multimedia studio, and I'm real excited about it.
Great, Ace. Right.
Well, Ace, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us here on Talking Metal. We know you're busy with the construction of the new studio, so it means a lot that you took a few minutes to talk to us. And I got to tell you, just my suggestion, I love these new music videos so much with the cartoons and the comic book styles. I'd love to see an Ace Frehley comic book. I think, you know, the Kiss did their comic books, but how about just an Ace comic book? I think that would be an amazing, fun thing for the fans.
You know, I just have to find a comic book company that's willing to put it out. You know, I'm sure I wish Stan Lee was still alive, because I met Stan, you know, when we did the Kiss comic, and we actually poured our, we each took a vial of blood and poured it in to the red ink. That's part of my DA is in all those DNAs and part of it is in all those comics.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. That's crazy to think about.
Guy, great innovator and artist, and you know, he's missed greatly by the industry.
Absolutely.
So, Ace, thank you so much for taking the time out today. We wish you and everybody Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we can't wait to see you back on the road again in 2021.
I really miss performing live, unfortunately, you know, because of this virus, everything has been postponed, but hopefully by the summer, you know, and, you know, if the vaccine is as good as they say it's going to be, hopefully that'll lower the numbers that are constantly rising every day. So, you know, one day at a time, you know, we'll see what happens. And I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, and all that good stuff.
Perfect.
Thank you so much,
Ace. Thank you, Ace. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Be on the show. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll, Thanks, Ace. Thank you. Yeah. Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ace Frehley, legendary guitar player in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Wow. It's still, John, you've hooked me up with numerous Ace interviews. And I tell you, I get like a little kid again. I start sweating and I'm like nervous. And it's like, that's the man right there. That's the man.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, you're around him a lot. So maybe you don't. I got to take my sweatshirt off because I broke out in sweat.
Yeah. No, believe it or not, even though I've been around Ace, you know, I've practically lived with Ace, you know, on tours, but and we work together so closely, but yeah, you know, you still get a little nervous sometimes in front of him, and he's a great guy, and we really are happy that he took time out of his schedule to do this, because Ace hasn't really been doing press at the moment, because he's taking time to work on the studio. He did a lot of interviews right after his Origins 2 was released and right before it was released. But now he's taken a little hiatus from interviews, and he was cool enough to come on our special show tonight. And yes, we thank him for that. And I'm going to text Ace in a couple of minutes and just say thank you for coming on. And it was fun. It was really fun. But
cool. Well, John, we're going to fly right into our next interview. Right now, we have Jason Bieler is going to be coming on the show with us. And there is the man himself, Jason. Jason, how are you, man?
I couldn't be any better. How are you guys?
We are great.
Thank you.
We appreciate you joining us really with not much notice. We had a cancellation. And,
well, that's the only reason I get booked is when there's a cancellation.
No. We had you on your list. We definitely wanted you. But you know, it was perfect. And I know you've been on the show before, so not the video version of it, but I know Emily has interviewed you for the show before. She's going to actually try to come down and say a quick hi in a bit. But I got to tell you,
I had a face for radio.
So, Jason, let me tell you, I know Mark has listened to the song Apology about 10 times already today, and I was listening to it at 4 a.m, and I just got to tell you that The sound quality is great. The writing is great. Your performance, your singing, guitar playing are great. But for me, I'm blown away by the production. And I mean, I can't even get my head around what it took to do this record the way you did it. And tell us a little bit about just how you approached everything from the writing to the physical recording and execution of the record.
I mean, you know, I wish I could say I had it planned out a little bit more, but it's really a series of happy accidents. You know, I started the record in March. I figured I'd reach out to like 30 of my friends, you know, and ask, and assuming that because of touring or, you know, obviously at that time, people doing different things or recording their own things, everyone would say no. And everybody said yes, which kind of freaked me out in the opposite sense. I started writing it in March and recording it, and then, you know, I was just lucky enough to get all my buddies involved. And, you know, from my perspective, the whole goal was to make a record with people I love and respect and for my own selfish purposes. So kind of everything that's happening at this point is like, oh, wow, like people are responding to it and it's getting received really well. It's super nice to hear.
Yeah. And again, the new record, Songs for the Apocalypse, it is out January 22nd. And you're putting this out through Frontiers, right? Is this the first album you're putting out with them?
Yeah. You know, I'd been talking to Nick over there for a while, and he seemed, you know, and they were super supportive. I mean, because I kind of initially told them, and I have a lot of respect for what they've achieved. I was like, you do realize what you're getting into when you get a record from me, right? I mean, I was hoping that it wouldn't all of a sudden turn horrible when they realized that it wasn't going to be like 12 versions of Love Is on the Way or, you know.
Right.
And, they were super cool and supportive. I mean, really, the first time they heard the music was when it was mastered. So they let me do what I do, and they couldn't have been any cooler. So my experience thus far has been wonderful.
And do you feel that the new record is going in a musically a different direction than maybe some of the records we've heard recently, like Where Dreams Go to Die? Is it a different place musically for you? Because from Apology, it seemed like maybe it was or is.
To me, it's just always music, man. So, like, I'll go Barry Manilow into Meshuggah, like, without missing a heartbeat. It doesn't matter to me. So whatever mood I'm in, you know, that's what I feel like doing. And I think this was just very much how I was thinking now and where my, you know, where the vibe was now. And then I think there was the added pressure of, like, oh, you know, David Ellefson said, yes, I can't suck. You know, I got to put riffs together, you know, it's like, and same thing with Bumblefoot or any of these people. I got so lucky with, like I said, Devin Townsend, Butch Walker. I mean, it's like a dream list of guys.
Oh, is Todd Latore on it too?
Todd's playing drums on Apology.
Oh, is he? Okay. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I like what you said. You said, is he a drummer who's a great singer, or is he a singer who's a great drummer? I think was one of your quotes. I mean, I wanted to talk about these guests that you have on the record, and it says something about you that all of these top-notch musicians didn't miss a beat, and they when you asked them if they wanted to be involved, they absolutely said yes, and they all supported you by being on this record. Everybody from Todd, who played drums and on Apology, sounded great. Bumblefoot, David Ellefson, Pat Badger from Extreme. I mean, like an unbelievable roster of musicians are on this record. And I, like I said, I'm blown away from now. Plus, I love all of the imagery and the whole concept of the Von Bielski. And I love that. I call it like a trailer that kind of goes through every song and it tells who's playing on it. That's such a cool thing you put together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, like these guys are, I mean, for me, the biggest thing I'm most proud of, I think, is I created this ecosystem that allows Clay Cook from the Zac Brown Band to play on a record with Devin Townsend.
Right.
So, you know, having a special guest thing is not, you know, I mean, everybody's got guests and friends and buddies, and that's the coolest thing. But the fact that each of these musicians is generally really diverse, you wouldn't necessarily associate them being part of it.
Right.
And that to me is the best part of it. You know, I mean, and it was great to work some, you know, all these guys, because you start to realize that, man, everybody just loves music. I mean, these guys all just love music and they all bring right. their A game. I mean, every time. So everyone's asking me like, well, what'd you tell them? I was like, thank you. I mean, you know, you don't tell right. David Ellefson how to play bass on your record. You just sit back, you know, right. the guy's a legend. So you just, you know, and everybody killed it. You know, I mean, like I said, if I had planned it or tried to produce people's parts or kind of gave a lot more direction, I think it would have ruined it. I got super lucky that everybody kind of understood what I was trying to do. And then, yep. man, they killed it.
Right on, right on.
And I'm the worst guy on the record.
Well, that's not true. That's not true.
But Jason, one thing that I find interesting about you is your fan base and how devoted and hardcore your fan base is, because you're not somebody, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but who has millions and millions of fans, but you have thousands.
Where are you going with this?
But well, listen, you have thousands and thousands of fans, and those fans love your music and what you do so much that when you come to New York, you sell out wherever you're playing, and they're really devoted and hardcore. And, you know, I'm into all this like stuff, like the Seth Godin stuff. And I was reading one of his books and he was like, it's more important to have devoted fans than to have millions of fans. Is that something you'd agree with and you relate to?
I mean, I'm super fortunate that the people have followed me, and it's, you know, look, since I've been 18 years old, I've been a musician, and right. that's how I've made my life. You don't get any luckier. I mean, yeah, you could be, you know, U2 or you could be Zeppelin. But I mean, to me, there's so many super talented musicians that struggle that never get to do anything. So at this point, like, it's so funny for me because, like, I'm getting these, you know, emails. Oh, you just got added to this amazing Spotify prog playlist. And all these new people are finding it. If you would have told me that's where I'd be at this point in my career, I'd have been like, what?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the people who have been supporting me the whole time, they get the humor first and foremost. They're open and they've allowed me to do anything I want to do. So there's nothing. I feel super free because I could literally do a polka album and people who dig me would be like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No one's expecting.
One.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I'm lucky.
Yeah. And the key thing, and I think what Mark was saying, is that your fans are sophisticated enough to understand that, and they're hardcore. They will support you. Whereas I know a lot of artists who have sold a lot of records, but necessarily, you know, their fans aren't running out to buy new products or to go to concerts. And I'd rather be in your position where you have hardcore fans that will always support you and they will always come to see you. And most importantly, they will be on your side when you do whatever it is that you want to do, including a polka, if you ever decided to do that. So I love that.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I mean, I couldn't draw it up any better. I mean, you, it's not like, again, it's a series of happy accidents. But I think that, you know, I have as much love for them in a weird way as they have for me. And I mean, my goal is to just put out stuff that I think they expect me to push boundaries. So I think if I like made a record that was like, here's my comeback record full of, you know, hits, they'd kill me.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, as long as what I'm doing is from me and what I really feel like doing,
right. They want that.
Yeah. I mean, that's as good as it gets.
So Jason, I do want to ask you a couple Saigon Kick related questions, but before
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. I can't hear what.
Before we go there, I want to bring on one of those hardcore fans of yours. Emily is here. She just wanted to say,
fan?
Oh, just wanted to see. Please.
Wait, can I? Do you see my T-shirt? I can't even see. Hi, Jason.
What a wonderful fashion choice. I can't.
And believe me, I have Kiss T-shirts and I have Megadeth T-shirts, and I had to decide which one I was going to wear tonight.
Right.
I was so upset because I told Mark I wanted to talk to Ace because I wouldn't know how to speak English if it weren't for Ace Frehley.
I know.
Because his cousin was a teacher at a high school in Coral Springs where I went to school, and I was going to quit. Except I thought, like, hey, if I get into that guy's class, I'll get to meet Ace Frehley.
Wow.
Well, maybe we can hook this up. We got to hook this up for Beeler.
No, Mark's a dream crusher. He's a dream crusher. That's what
yeah. I have to say, though, I saw you almost like 1 year ago tonight. You played New York, your Christmas show, remember? Like, you know, like your holiday show you come to. And I just have to say, a little plug for what a wonderful person you are. Ozzy, our dog, had just died like 5 days before. And you came up, like, you came out of the bathroom. And you were like, I saw your dog died. I'm really sorry. And I lost it. So,
we're such huge dog people here that, you know, like,
I know.
If my neighbor went, I'd be like, well, you know.
I know, but the dogs, huge talent, huge heart. So thank you for being so kind. And it's one of the reasons I wear your shirt proudly. And I'll let you guys get back to your talk.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful holiday. Great seeing you.
Thanks. Yeah. And Jason, so, you know, the big fan of the Lizard record, of course, so many great memories of that record. But in February, the first Saigon Kick album, I wanted to go back to that one, will turn 30. In February of 2021. Any memories of doing that first Saigon Kick record that you could share with us?
I mean, the biggest memory was we were a local band at the time with no demo tape and no photo. And we were starting to draw really big numbers, like 1,000, 1,500 people selling out these venues.
Wow.
And literally over a weekend, Jason Flom and Michael Wagner flew in. And I think Michael had just finished an Extreme record and had like 2 weeks before he started a Skid Row record, or 3 weeks before he was starting what I think became Slave to the Grind. And so we played the show. They took us to a Denny's across the street and said, well, do you guys want to go to LA on Monday and start your... It was that quick.
Wow. Wow.
And so we recorded that whole record. And Michael Wagner, I mean, you can't say enough about, you know, when you start talking about legends, I mean... But he made a record that literally, like, every night we would go out and have these decadent, massive spreads of food. Like, you didn't even know you made a record. Like, literally, I was on my way home before I even realized we recorded.
Wow. And cool. When you went in to do the second record, The Lizard, that record, you know, to me, was very timely. And a lot of people, you know, they think of the big hit single and stuff, and I don't know if they realize that, but that sound that you guys had, I mean, it was almost, there was elements of like Faith No More and I want to say like maybe even Mother Love Bone, I don't know if Alice in Chains, more so to me than there was like the hair metal bands. But it seemed like for some reason you guys got more pigeonholed as, you know, the 80, like, not, I don't want, like, the melodic metal band. Does that sound right?
We managed to straddle two tectonic shifts in music. So we were really never, when we first started, we toured with the Ramones, we toured with Faith No More, we played shows with Soundgarden, we played with Ozzy, and all these kind of cool, and Cheap Trick and stuff like that. But we were never really accepted by the hair metal bands at all. And no disrespect to them. They just were like, we want nothing to do with them. And then the ballad kind of took off on its own, really. Before, we were in Mexico shooting a video for Hostile Youth, and a station started playing the ballad. We had a ballad on the first record, too. And it just took off. And then as soon as that happened, all the grunge bands could have... I basically take credit for killing hair metal. Yeah. So that was the last ballad. After that ballad, like, everybody was out of work, which explains why all the hair metal guys still hate me.
Right.
But I have a nice house, so I'm not complaining, but sorry to the rest of them.
Right on. John?
So, Jason, what I wanted to ask you about the artwork and the whole concept and the creative, not the musical creative, but the the artistic creative on the new record. Tell me, like, was that your concept, and who did you get to do this for you? Because it looks great. I love, like, the creative Visions. Director on this project is out of this world, I think.
Yeah, that guy's another genius that I stumbled my way into. This guy named Robert Merrick does everything for me, even all the kind of funny Photoshop stuff. He's been doing it, you know, we've been friends for years, and it's the first time I've ever kind of put together a piece of music and that has visually translated to a cover. You know, usually it's like the covers are horrible, or it doesn't really represent anything that meant anything to me, or it didn't work out, or the colors came out wrong, or there's always a series of, you know, Spinal Tap-esque, you know, things right. that go wrong when it comes time to make an album cover. And the same thing even with the first video for Apology. I mean, I think the guys really, like, listened to what the record was, kind of understood what it was, understood the absurdity, understood the Python-esque and the darkness and all these kind of elements, and put it together, because I didn't want it to be dark. You know, there's a silly scariness about being this age and trying to be dark to me. It just seems silly.
Right.
But there's the reality of being our age and realizing, like, life can be horrible. You know, there's that kind of horror. So it's kind of all woven into, it's not a theme record so much, but it's really got this kind of thread through it.
Yeah. Well, in my other world, I'm in a creative department, and I just was blown away first off by the music, but then by all the artwork and everything within the Apology video, and even with that trailer that I was talking about. And I just think you hit a home run with this, and I love it. I really love it. And like Mark said, he couldn't stop listening to it. I was listening to it in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. I was thinking about the show today, and I was just listening to the stuff. And you know, I have a little studio here, but I can't even comprehend what it would take to look at, you know, like a mixing console online with what you had going on in these songs. Like I can imagine it, but I mean, I know that that's in your head, and it's, that's unbelievable to me, because
it was all done on a laptop.
That's out of control. I mean, that is just amazing. And
I didn't touch I have a, you know, in this case, you know, it was kind of freeing because I had no rules, but yeah, I mean, there was nowhere to go. So it was either make the record and be creative about it. It's right. so funny because I have all these friends. I have all these people I could have gone studios to, but then the pandemic hit. So I was like, let me see what I can accomplish here. So yeah, it was all done. Sometimes you lay, again, I find when I really have my heart set in a direction and planned, everything goes sideways. So this kind of all felt naturally together. And even people on their parts in the record kind of came as the song was coming in. It was like, oh, you know, I should send that to David, you know, and
right. Wow. So they even gave suggestions and send this to that person, and they'll throw their thing down. I love that you didn't even produce them, so to speak. You didn't like tell them how to play what they were going to do. You just said kind of go for it, and they did their thing.
Yeah. How are you going to tell Bumblefoot how to play guitar? I mean, what's the point? I mean, to me, the reason I called David, and I'm hoping he's in the green room hearing how highly I'm speaking of him, because I expect the same thing when he comes on. I want him on the record. I want him to do what he does, you know, so telling him how to, and you don't need to tell that guy, you know, what to do. I mean, or any of these guys. I mean, that was the greatest thing. I mean, same thing with Devin, you know, guys just off the charts talented. And it's Clint Lowry from Seven Dust, you know, these guys just, I mean, it was the most fun and rewarding creative process. No drama. There was never a time when I opened a part and was like, oh, this is, how am I going to tell this guy this doesn't work? I mean, every time I'd open something up, I was like, I would have never played that. I would have never thought to do that. That's just amazing.
Right on. And on the song Apology, Jason, on that specific song, besides Todd on the drums and you, who else is joining you on that specific song?
Andy Blacksugar, who's an amazing guitar player, and how he's not
from New York,
top five in the world is beyond me. He's just a stunning guitar player. And Kevin Scott is playing on bass. Kevin plays in a kind of underground jazz scene. So he plays with like Wayne Krantz. He plays with John McLaughlin, the last John McLaughlin tour. Plays with Jimmy Herring. Played with Aquarium Rescue Unit. So he's from a whole separate scene as well. And he's just a great bass player. So.
Great stuff. Great
Jason,
stuff.
Jason, I know Mark and Emily have hung out with you before. Where are you based out of? Where do you live?
Right now I live in North Carolina. I moved here like 4 years ago.
Wow. But and you're originally from Florida, is that right? Or is the like Saigon Kick was from Florida?
Yeah, we were all from Florida. I lived there until about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Nice.
And then I had enough. I mean, I don't need to tell you, you know, Florida can get on one's nerves.
Right. So here, back to like sending these tracks to people. What I think is cool is that you didn't necessarily send people finished tracks. You send them parts, and then the tracks grew. So this album, it kind of like lived. It grew up on its own.
I mean, the songs and the parts were all generally done.
Okay.
But I knew that like this person's gonna, you know, play this, or this is the person here. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of it was, you know, all the writing and everything was kind of done. So I don't think anything changed due to the contributions. Things got just better.
Nice. Okay.
Right on.
That's cool.
So Jason, we are gonna have to wrap it up here, but before we let you go, what else besides music has been keeping you busy this last 8-9 months?
Music. I mean,
just music. Yeah.
I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be able to, you know, I want to start the second record right now because I have another probably 6 months or so before hopefully we can get back to touring. So a lot of music, a lot of Netflixing, you know, used to
love. What are you watching on Netflix?
I've gone through everything, man. We did The Queen's Gambit. We're watching The Crown right now. Broadchurch, which was a UK show. If you haven't seen Toast of London, that's one of my favorite shows of all time.
I have not. Emily's watching The Crown right now, and then we're watching Cobra Kai together.
Oh, saw that as well. Yeah, it's been a big year for Netflix.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Jason, and one comical thing, I love your attitude on Facebook. I'd like to say hi to my, you know, my girlfriend David Ellison or something like that. You know, it's really funny. You have great funny things that you post. I could never be that cool to post stuff like that. So I just on a parting note,
I enjoy posting stuff and walking in the other room and seeing my wife go, idiot. that's the whole motivation.
Right. I love it. So that Jason, thank you so much. I hope to be with Mark and Emily the next time you're in concert here in the New York, New Jersey area. And we really thank you so much for being on the show. We can't wait till January when the record comes out. We will definitely have it, and we are going to be listening to it heavy duty. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on. Thanks for not letting me meet Ace Frehley, Mark. I'll never forgive you. And please send David Ellefson my love.
Yes. Oh, we will.
Jason, I will make sure that you, I will work it out that you meet Ace. Next time we're down in your area, if you're home or wherever you are, keep in touch.
He works with Ace, by the way.
We'll set it up.
That would be big for me. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great night. And thanks so much for having me on.
You bet. Thanks, Songs for the Apocalypse. Jason Bieler's new record will be out on the 22nd of January. So I am psyched for that, John. And we are waiting for our next two guests. They're going to come on at the same time. I think they're scheduled for 7:30. So we got a little time.
Now, Mark, let me say this. I know you and Jason are friends, but I love it. You're like,
well, more him and Emily are friends. I don't really know him that well, but yeah.
Thanks for coming on. I'm just kidding, Mark. We had a cancellation. I'm joking.
Right.
I love it. You were thanking him because we just asked him kind of at the last minute.
Yeah, it was the last minute. He jumped on board with us. I didn't mean any slight by that.
And I'm just, Mark, I hope that you're not taking this in a negative way, but I like it. Then you go, you know, a lot of artists have millions of fans. You really don't, but I love it. But I knew what you were saying. You were saying you have a group. I know people that sold like millions of records and they can't sell out a venue where you're saying that he has
his fan base is so devoted. Yeah, they're just so hardcore and devoted. Yeah,
I mean, he might not sell as many records as U2 does, but he can sell out venues in Manhattan because the people that like him will do anything for him. They love what he does, and they will show up for him. And believe me, that's what I want. I would love to sell out venues and just have a devoted group of hardcore fans, because let's face it, there's not going to be too many more U2s and Metallicas and Led Zeppelins, sadly, in my opinion. And I hate to say it, but I really don't think that I don't think that anybody's life experience, in if you're like a kid growing up now, or if you're our age or whatever, there's nothing that's going to create another Jimmy Page and a Robert Plant or a Paul McCartney and a John Lennon or even a Paul, Gene, Ace, and Peter. I don't think that's possible anymore.
All I was trying to go with that is that this guy, Seth Godin, says, if you have 1,000 hardcore fans, whether you're a musician, a writer, or who knows what else, if you a cook, if you have 1,000 hardcore fans, you can make a living off of what you do.
That's cool. And I knew that exactly, Mark. I'm just having fun. But no, that's right, so cool. Right, I want to find out Seth Godin. I hope
he didn't take offense to it because
he didn't, Mark. I'm kidding. That's the thing about talking metal. We're not super serious. We're not like, hi, I'm Tom Brokaw here to talk about your new album. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
Tell us about the song. You know, we're not that. We're the guys from Talking Metal. I mean, I'm kind of a dorky guy with round blue glasses and.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is.
Right. Right. You got the shaded glasses. I got, you know, the thing, I started wearing the shaded glasses now too.
The thing that's great about them is they
hide the dark circles that have developed under my eyes for some odd reason. I don't know. I guess I'm just getting old, but, I like them. I actually think they make me look younger when I wear glasses.
I think people are like, oh, younger. And yeah, you got good hair all the time, so you're fine. You're all set, Mark. In my opinion, you're set.
Thank you. And John, we have
that Randy Rhodes poster there. I don't think I ever noticed that. Is that new? I know you had that poster, okay. But did you hang it up right there?
What's that?
The Randy Rhodes poster. Did you just put it there?
We moved it. It was on the other side of the basement. Emily redesigned the basement, so now there is a TV area down here where she watches her shows, the Crown and stuff. And Grant comes down here a lot and hangs out, listening to music and watching shows and doing his games. And my older son, Harrison, he's just on Fortnite, any second that he can, which is all the rage with the, preteen boys nowadays. And I guess teenage boys too. So anyways, we have coming up,
thing is great.
David Ellefson and Drew Fortier. They're going to be coming on real soon. I'm not sure if they're quite ready yet, but they might. They're ready. Okay, so we are going to bring them on right now. David Ellefson and Drew Fortier. Hey guys, how are you?
Hey guys,
good. How are you doing? How are you?
Thanks for coming on tonight, guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man. You guys are like all professionals, like being on NBC or something. This is press, man. It's funny. We just talked like, what, 2 months ago, maybe? 2-3 months ago?
I think it was probably closer to three months ago, David. But yeah, we did just talk. You were one of our earlier guests when we started doing the stream. And we've definitely stepped it up a notch here with some people, some great people like Marcy and Jonathan and Andrew helping us out, Michael and the crew there, Sophia. So thank you for noticing that. And so great to have you guys on. Drew, so nice to meet you.
You too.
Thanks for lining this up.
We're also friends on Facebook.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So thank you both. And David, it's great to see you. Now, David, let me just start off by saying, you are involved in so many amazing projects. Like, just when I think you can't be doing another project, you're doing another great project. And now you and Drew have a great book out. It's coming out. And that's one of the reasons you guys are both here tonight to talk about that.
Yeah. Probably my next project will be Christmas, which would be much needed break to have. You know, at some point I need to shut up and go away for a while, probably. It's funny. Drew and I, we've been friends now for several years. And I guess I met Drew through Tom Hazard, you know, and we do a lot of other stuff, our label and coffee and stuff together. But the idea hit me about exactly a year ago when I was on a solo tour across South America. The idea hit me to write a fiction book, and I called Drew right away because he's finishing up a film that we're putting out through Ellefson Films called Dwellers. And so I know how twisted and sick Drew's mind is. And I go, dude, I got a book concept. I need you to jump in on it. So we just finished this thing up, which is coming out actually on the 18th, December 18th. So yeah, we're doing a little pandemic book tour. So thank you for inviting us over.
Thank you guys. And so the book is called Rockstar Hitman, and it's about a rock musician who does he make a deal, like is it almost like making a deal with like some nefarious people who cause him to become a hitman and actually go out and kill people. That's exactly it.
So, and it's funny because, you know, there's a lot of these sub layers and, you know, Drew and I being musicians, of course. And, you know, it's, I always liken it to John Grisham. You know, he writes awesome fiction, but he blooms where he planted, which is he's a lawyer, you know, so he writes these great, sort of law thrillers. So we're writing rock star thrillers, you know, and our, as if our life isn't thrilling enough, being artists and musicians, you know, and then also the subcontext, like you almost said, signing a deal with the devil, you know, the nefarious people of our business that so many people, you know, sign these deals and we all have at some point thinking, well, it's just a stepping stone to get over there. And, you know, those deals always come with some sort of backlash. And this one involves him being a hitman. So, and that's where we had a lot of fun writing this because, of course, you can kind of draw from some of your own personal, almost autobiographical experiences. And of course, it's a totally fictional story, but you know, you kind of can write from that. Drew and I, not having been hitmen before, we have not. So, but you know, to go and have fun exploring, you know, that whole thing, of course, we've all read enough books and seen enough, you know, Bond and Jason Bourne movies and fun stuff, you know, but it's fun to just kind of really go down that road. And we've been having a good time writing this one and, you know, setting up a series. We're calling it the Sledge Chronicles. Sledge is the main character of the book. So it's going to be a series of books, and that's kind of fun to start with that, knowing that there's a lineage that's going to happen with the book series.
Right. And let me ask you, Drew, how about throw one over to you? How does the writing process work? Do you guys exchange ideas via email, or do you actually get on the phone or Zoom and talk it out? How does the writing process come when you're coming up with this story?
It's a little bit of all that, actually. I mean, when you first hit me about it, I wrote out this prologue, this kind of like laying out the whole thing, just painting the picture and everything. And I sent it to him and he really, 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 really liked it. And he's like, you know, I think we should just take this and just expand upon this and make that the book. And it was so much fun to do. But yeah, typically we were just bounce ideas off each other via text, email, phone calls. And once we get one idea going, though, it just kind of just avalanches into something really cool. And another fun part about the whole thing too was kind of seeing how far I could take a lot of the murder in the book, you know, like just to see where it's like when's the you know the peak where it's like, all right, Drew, I think that's enough blood and gore and terrible things. But surprisingly, that never happened. I would actually try and, you know, take a certain scene in the book and see, it's like, okay, let's see how messed up we can make this. And by the time I was done writing it, I was like, oh, I'm gonna have trouble sleeping tonight. And then I show it to Dave, and he was like, "Oh, this is great! Put it in the book." And I was like, "What?" So
only Drew can murder a guy who's already murdered.
Exactly. And so the goal for the next book is to try and get to that point where Dave's like, "No, Drew, we can't put that in the book. What's the matter with you?"
Right on. And now, then if a book wasn't enough, you're also working on, or have maybe already completed a movie, right? Dwellers. So let's talk about that. When can we expect to see that, and where are we with the production of it?
Well, with Dwellers, it's a found footage horror movie, kind of in the vein of Blair Witch. You know, so it's all from the perspective of the documentary camera. And the best way I could describe it is Blair Witch meets Chud. Chud was this 80s horror movie about sewer monsters and government conspiracies and all that and everything. And it's just about finished, just a couple of tiny slight audio things, but it's just about done. And David, we're going to be screening it in February, correct?
Yeah, February 20th at the Mad Monster Horror Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. That'll be the final. Yeah, the official release.
I've had a great time at that Horror Con.
Oh, cool.
Yep. So we wanted to find a platform like that, and of course, in 2020, everything shut down. I did do a Mad Monster show here in Phoenix. They did one back, I think it was in October. And that was sort of the test, you know, to see if they could socially distance, kind of limit the number of tickets sold. And it worked well. It came off successful. So they're pushing ahead now to do the one in Charlotte, North Carolina. So that's, yeah, February 20th. And so they've given us the platform to do the premiere, and it's fun. You know, I've been to, obviously appeared at a lot of comic cons and horror cons, and the horror con thing works better with metal. You know, the fan base is very synonymous.
Right. No doubt about it.
So, and it's fun, you know, getting invited to do these, it's fun to bring something to the table. You know, you know, when you get invited over to someone's house, bring, I don't know, some, you know, a main course, some beer, cookies, whatever, something, a dessert, you know, bring something. So it's kind of fun to go to these horror cons and not just be a famous guy appearing there and, you know, doing autographs, but, you know, bringing a book, you know, that we can be rolling out and talking about, bringing a film. And even the Rockstar Hitman series, you know, is very much written in the mind that it could be screenplayed at some point. So, you know, it's nice to, you know, again, be thinking about the end in mind rather than just sort of randomly spitting out, you know, content. It's cool. And then with the Ellison Book Company and Ellison Films and, of course, the EMP Label Group, we've got all the platforms of the, you know, the book, the audio and the visual part of it all we've at least got the platforms in place to roll this stuff out now.
Right, so that's cool. Right. So will there be an audio book as well that's accompanying the physical book?
Yep. It's there's an audio book, which I narrated. I forgot, Drew, did you narrate some of that? We did this a couple months ago. I forgot.
I just did the very beginning and the very end.
That's
I just
right.
kind of did
that's
the introduction right. and the outro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so that'll be available on the Audible ASICS platform. So that goes across, of course, all the digital outlets. BNN.com, which is the Barnes & Noble platform. That's where you can order both the hard and the soft cover, as well as, I think, Kindle is available there as
Kindle,
well, right, Drew?
And there is a paperback available on Amazon as well. I put that up, so you could get that there also as a physical copy.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. One of the things that I really like and just can envision happening is the Chronicles – you know, becoming its own thing. Like, so like, you know, years from now, people can say, well, I like what happened in book two. No, I like what happened when he did this in book four. Like, I think that's one of the most exciting things because this thing is going to live on and then people are going to have their favorites. And it's almost like a Star Wars kind of like everybody is going to know, like there'll be experts in this era and experts in that era. And I'm excited by that. I think you guys really hit on something that's cool.
That's cool. Well, thank you. And the other thing is, of course, because he's an artist and he's a musician, he's going to be traveling the world. So that leaves all kinds of great, you know, terrible things to happen and espionage and all kinds of international crimes. And, you know, the people of ill repute aren't limited to just, you know, California, you know, it's he's going out around the world. So, it's a beautiful thing. And I like how you think, and I appreciate you thinking big like that, because that's how we started this whole thing.
I want to talk music with you guys a bit, but before we do that, Drew, now you were in a movie that recently came out. Her name was Krista. Can you talk a little bit about that, where we could actually see it?
Absolutely. Her name is Krista. The best way I can describe it is the most romantic necrophilia story ever told. The first hour and a half's a wonderful romantic movie with some comedy and some, you know, horror overtones. And then it takes a really hard left turn for the last half an hour. And that was directed by James L. Edwards, who's also in Dwellers. And you could get that on Amazon. You could get that on DiabolicDVD.com and everything. And then I play a character named Nick Perkins, who kind of works in this office area with the main character. And the main character is a lonely middle-aged fella, and he's single. And I just try and egg him on to be like, hey, get out there. Come on, what's the matter with you? And I eventually get him to, you know, get a prostitute, and he falls in love with the prostitute. And that's where the love story blossoms. It's very rock and roll, if you will. But yeah, everybody who I've recommended it to check out, they report back to me. They're like, that was incredibly messed up, but I really, 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 really enjoyed it. So I highly, highly recommend it to you guys if you want to check it out. I can send you guys some screeners if you want to view it. And it's, I think you guys would really, really like it though. I think you guys.
Well, I watched the trailer and I tell you that whoever the actor is, they that's cast in the main role there, the bald headed guy,
James,
even in the trailer, he comes across like, there's something unsettling about his performance.
He kind of looks like the BTK killer in the movie too, a little bit.
Yeah. So I do look forward to seeing that.
Drew, I have a question for you, and I hope I'm not. I hope I didn't read this wrong. Did you meet your wife while doing this movie?
I proposed to her on the set of the movie. Actually, I got James, the director, to hire her as a featured extra that interacts with my character, and so it was like the last shot of the night. And like 4:30 in the morning, we were all miserable. And, I see something really, really messed up. And her character turns around and like kind of reacts to me. It's like, what's wrong with you? So we play it out and she turns around, last take. And I'm boop, pop the question. And it's actually on YouTube if you want to check it out, the proposal.
Okay, I definitely will. That's awesome. That's great.
Thank you.
Cool.
And art reflects reality with that one.
Yeah.
That's hardcore, man.
So right. David, we've been hearing about new Megadeth music in the works. Where are you with it? Is it all recorded? You guys are mixing? What stage of the game are you at with new Megadeth music?
Being recorded. We started the basic tracks back in May and June and then moved on to, guitars and everything, and now into lyrics and vocals and all the overdubs and stuff. So yeah, being recorded now. So yeah, it's moving along. So, as far as the release of it, I don't have a title. I don't have any, song titles. I don't have any of that stuff yet, but, I assume we'll be dropping it, again, around touring. We've got tour stuff scheduled, June in Europe, July, August for, Metal Tour of the Year, with Megadeth, Lamb of God, Trivium and In Flames. The vaccine's coming out. So, again, it's all TBD, So I think it's kind of one of the beautiful things this year. What Drew and I've been working on. I mean, this stuff, it's funny that you can do this stuff digitally now, And you can go to Amazon. Amazon has basically saved the planet, right? Whether you need a hairdryer or a thriller book, it can show up, in the mail or via Amazon. And it's been an interesting year of creativity, of being able to do things. I've made one record, at least the Ellison No Cover record we did remotely from around the world, and that worked. It's not my preferred way to make records on that one. It actually worked very well. Megadeth, of course, were in the room. Drew and I were collaborating on some music stuff here as a bit of a soundtrack around the book. It's not going to come out, next week with the launch of the book, but kind of was a longer range thing to create some soundtrack music around that. So we actually did get together in L.A. back in July at Mike Heller's place, who plays in Raven and Fear Factory. So we got together there, and also with Vinny from Sponge. So we've got a little musical thing cooking on the side with this as well. So yeah, so very, very cool, and it's that's being mixed right now. So we'll see where we can, land that. As we're looking at the year, there's schedules, but those schedules, again, we hope they'll stay as solid as they can for everybody. But everything is subject to change. So I think it's kind of one of these seasons the life of a creator, a content creator, if you will, that you, I think it's kind of necessary to have a few things at the starting line, because you just don't know which one the gun's going to fire and which one may get pushed back a bit,
And this music that you two are working on together that you're talking about, David, what is the title of the band or the project
the title is called Lucid. And it kind of has that. It's heavy. It's rocking. It's kind of a bit modern sounding. As you would probably expect with a guy like Vinny from Sponge singing on it. Anybody that knows Vin and his work, the guy's a total rock star. Great, just a vibe and a cool thing. Of course, me and Mike Heller come from very heavy, hard metal shredding stuff. So I think sometimes it's fun for guys like me and Mike to deviate off that a little bit and do some things that don't have to be just always classified heavier than heavy metal stuff, So But yeah, we hope to have, hope to have that out here in, hopefully earlier in 2021.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you'll like it as if you're just a rock fan, a hard rock fan, you'll, and obviously metal too, but you'll dig it. I've run it past a few people and it's turned some heads. So it's nice, you know.
Is it, would you say it's in the same vein as the stuff you were doing with Frank Bello, the altitudes?
You know, some of it is. Some of it is a little bit. Yeah, some of it trends a little bit over by Altitudes and Attitude. Some of it gets kind of heavy in the sort of way that maybe 90s Megadeth would.
Okay.
Which I think is fitting. That's kind of when Sponge came out in the 90s, when they debuted, they were kind of that active rock 90s modern hard
what
rock
was that
kind of
set. Real great song. What was that? Waxastatic? Was that
Waxastatic?
Yeah. That was a great tune.
Yeah.
That was a great tune. So I have that on CD in the other room.
It's cool. It's an eclectic cast between me and Drew and Heller and Vin. It's 2020's proved to be one of these years where you can just kind of, hey, throw it up in the air and let's see what happens. And I've been really lucky, man. The stuff that I've worked on has worked well. It's clicked, and you kind of kindred spirits meet. You know, when it's like when people are ambitious, they want to do something. They're willing to step up and sometimes step outside of their comfort zone. As most of the stuff that I've worked on in 2020, it's like, hey, man. You know, it's kind of survival of the fittest. Let's go. Let's just get in a room and shake it up and see what happens. So, this Lucid stuff is very cool, man. I'm definitely
can't wait.
As we're listening to final mixes now this week, it's like, yeah, this really came out well.
So, Drew, kind of a off the beaten path question for you. I'm a big fan of Faith No More. Love that first record. And John has interviewed the late Chuck Mosley before he passed away for Talking Metal. I understand you have a history with him. Can you just share a little bit of that history with Chuck for a couple minutes?
Absolutely. I love Chuck very, very much. I was his guitar player for a brief moment. Thanks to Tom Hayshard, actually. And Chuck's manager / babysitter, Doug Esper, who's also in Dwellers, believe it or not. Everything's kind of connected. And me and, what's messed up is I only knew Chuck for 6 months up until he passed, but he had such an impact on me and became such a good friend for that time leading up. And I never knew anybody could have that kind of impact on somebody, so I really miss him very much. But I had an incredible time with Chuck. And I remember him and I and Tom Hayshard and Stephen Shirell from Kick Tracy went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame together, and that was a fun moment to just walk around and just watch Chuck be like a little kid looking at the David Bowie stuff, and kind of loosely working on a documentary on Chuck as well called Thanks and Sorry, the Chuck Mosley movie. And
wow, cool.
And so that's going to be really cool. But I had an incredible time playing with Chuck. It was funny, a quick little Chuck story. Obviously he played on the first, he sang on the first two Faith No More albums. And we had such a blast together on the road. We had so much fun. And he was a big fan of Irony. So I remember at the first rehearsal, I started playing the piano part to Epic on guitar. It was like a fingerstyle piece. And he was like, "What is that? That sounds familiar. Is that Metallica, the Chili Peppers, or something? What is that?" And then he was like, "Oh!" So we made it a part of the set where I play the piano part to Epic. Like that, we do the outro to Epic, and he just kind of does like a noise solo on guitar over it. It's really cool. I think some of that's on YouTube actually. So, and we actually did do a Mike Patton era Faith No More song. We did "Take This Bottle" from the King for a Day. Live and all that. But it's nothing but fond memories about Chuck. I can tell Chuck stories all day long. Like I said, even though I only knew him for 6 months, loved him very much and have many stories. Some of them actually, not to be like, shameless self-promoter, but I kind of wrote a memoir a couple years ago as a goof because like everybody, I was like, and I have a lot of Chuck stories in there too, as well as how I got involved with Bang Tango and Flip and Zen from Mars and all the random bands I ended up playing with him and everything.
Where can people get that?
You can get it on Amazon, actually. Amazon.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, Drew, you've been involved with so many artists that I'm fans of, including Bryn from Flip and Chips Enough. And tell me about, and then, you know, of course, Bangtango. But I want to talk about Bryn and Chip. Tell me some stories about those guys, because I love both of those guys.
Oh, I love them with all my heart as well. I actually got a band with them as well. This project called Zen from Mars. It's me, Bryn, Chip, Kate Catalina, Chip's wife on keys, Mike Heller from Fear Factory, Raven, Lucid on drums, and Stephen Shiro from Kick Tracy on vocals. And we've been in the mixing stages on the album for about 5 years now, but it's finally almost done. But yeah, Bryn, I absolutely love. He's an incredible guitar player and an incredible songwriter. Same goes with Chip as well, man. You know, Chip's, he's like, he sounds like Krusty the Clown, but he sings like Paul McCartney, you know, like it's amazing. Love him. I love his vernacular too. His vocabulary.
For everybody listening who, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Drew. For everybody, we're talking about Bryn Ahrens, and we're talking about the one and only Chip Zanuff. And I love how you said he's Krusty the Crown meets Paul McCartney.
Yeah, exactly. I hail you. Hail you. Look at all that trim. And I learned and Chip and I. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And actually, Bryn, I joined Flip for one show. It was supposed to be for a lot longer than that, but I was in Flip for one show. And it got the, recorded too, I think. So there may be a video of that somewhere. But I loved playing with Flip. Just, it was an incredible experience. You know, those guys are amazing. And also to bring it back to David as well, Chip and I play on the No Cover record on the hidden bonus track. It's we play on Down by Cheap Trick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Tom Hazard had reached out to Chip when we started putting the No Cover record together. And it kind of came in right at the last minutes. In fact, we had these when Drew and I were together with Mike Heller and Vin over in L.A. Mid-July. We had just started mixing the No Cover record, and Chip sent the track over. I was like, I listened to him, like, he doesn't need us on this. He's like a one-man Cheap Trick band, you know? Chip is so cool, and he's got this nice, dreamy, ethereal, you know, sound, and it's just, you know, it's like true acid rock. You just go in and get lost with Chip, you know. And me and Drew played on it, and so yeah, we actually put it as this bonus kind of 19th. If you listen to disc two of the No Cover album at the very end of it, there's that. So we'll probably pull that over. I don't know, maybe we'll even use that with Lucid at some point. We'll have it as a B-side in some
it's on the Ellefson No Cover album.
Oh, yeah. And I got a lot of there's a lot of Chips Enough stories in my memoir, too. It's called Dark, Depressing, and Hilarious. And if you like Chip, you'll get a kick out of a lot of the stories in there for sure.
Check that out.
I used to go to his house almost every day. I practically lived there because I used to live in Chicago, and he was kind of like down the street from me a little bit. So he was like, bro, just go over whenever you want. And I did. And it was always smoky, and it was, you know, it was a lot of contact high for sure. Jesus.
Here's the cool thing. And I want to, this is about both of you guys. But David, you have like your Megadeth crew, but you have another network of people, including Drew and Tom Hazard and then the ancillary people that are connected to those guys. And I really like that network. There's when you all get together, you do a lot of great things for rock and metal, and you put a lot of cool stuff out, and I love that, and I just think it's cool that you kind of have like multiple lives. Like, you've got your Megadeth life, but then you've got this life that you're the center of, and then you're working out from there as well. And Tom is a really important part of it too.
I appreciate that, yeah, because, you know, when you're a career musician and a career artist, and obviously in a career band, which Megadeth is, you know, it goes through its own transitions, you know, that we've seen. And, you know, as we all get older, you know, you kind of don't want to leave something on the table, you know. You know, our friend Ace Frehley, his book, No Regrets, I always love the title of that. It sits in my shelf over here. And that's kind of a reminder, no regrets, you know. You know, my mom and dad and my brother are gone. I'm the last standing. Go figure, the young rock and roll rebel, you know, would be the last guy standing. And it, you know, as I watched them pass, you know, it just reminded me, it's like, if not now, when, you know, so do it now, get on it and write the book, you know, do the movie, you know, create the soundtrack, start the record label, you know, you like coffee, great, start a coffee company, you know, so these things are all, they're all born of passion. And that's why, you know, I wake up in the morning And the to-do list is all stuff I like to do. And you're right, we're friends. We enjoy, you know, it's all kind of just real life Wayne's World in real time, you know? And, you know,
I really do. All,
yeah, it's really fun, you know? And I think that's the main thing is, you know, when I got into music, they called it playing music. It wasn't work. It was playing, you know, as we're just trying to avoid having to go to school and get a real job. And, you know, all these years later, I think we're doing okay, you know?
Yeah, I think you are too. And David, I don't know if I told you this. I moved from the time you were on Talking Metal on this video show before, I moved into a new place. And now I have new things, including a coffee grinder and a new machine. So now that I, you know, I'm more serious about it, I'm going to be ordering from you. So.
Nice. I know a guy. We can hook you up. We can get some coffee over to you. Yeah.
Hey, David, we do, and Drew, we do have to wrap it up here in just a few minutes. But before you guys were on with us, we had Jason Beeler, who said hello, David, to you and told us that you are involved with his new album, Songs for the Apocalypse. Could you maybe just for a minute or two talk about working with Jason on that album?
Well, I'll tell you what I wrote for him. He is a modern day Frank Zappa. He is just one of the most eclectic, just intriguing artists. You know, the track I played on, I think Bumblefoot's on it, the drummer from Skindred. I played on two tracks, actually. And it's funny, as I was sitting there, I went down to John Aquilino's studio here in town, guitar player from Icon. He's got a great studio here that I work at a lot in Phoenix. And we were both sitting there, and John's a big music fan, of course. And there's moments where I was just going, man, this is like Yes 90125 meets like some kind of like Jungle Rhythms meets Soulfly meets, you know, it was just this combination of stuff. And it was so fun to play on, you know, so I love that is a hard left turn record. And in such a melodic, cool way, lyrically, you know, I mean, Jason's just got worlds going on up in that head of his, man. I mean, he's there's a lot going on up there. And of course, he's a brilliant musician and player. And we know his Saigon Kick hits and everything. So yeah, that is definitely a record to check out for sure. That was a thrill to play on that.
He's a very attractive and powerful man.
I love the quote. And yeah, I said the same thing to him. I said, boy, I said, I can't even imagine what's going on in your head when you're putting a track like this together. I said the same exact thing, David, because I mean, I only heard one song and I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. But you described it perfectly, modern day Frank Zappa, and I think that's great.
He really is. Man. He's off the chain. Yeah.
You guys have so much cool stuff going on too, Drew. I'm so happy that you've come on and you're a friend of ours now. And you know, I can't wait till we're all back out in the road somewhere together, and we're seeing some live music. But in the meantime, while we're home. The book the Chronicles, I'm ready for the series. It's like nowadays you know with the streaming and binge watching, like I might get the book and I want the second book like before that's out, like, so you guys got to get moving because I want to experience it all now.
it's well underway, just let's see, you know, I can't promote book two yet, but believe me, Drew and I are way deep in it. It's almost done. We're rocking it, so yeah,
that's great to hear. Guys,
that's, you know, it's when creativity hits, you just go. I mean, that's one thing about being home, is, you know, you're not distracted. It's just like, hey man, like I burned my hole in my eyeballs the other day writing like three or four chapters for something. Actually, there's another book Drew hit me on, and he was like, we just started spitballing on an idea about something. I was like, dude, I'm on it. And I just started, you know, riffing, and I was like four chapters in. I was like, okay, I gotta like go to bed now. I'm like freaking, you know. So but that's you know, I love that. It's like that's kind of what we're on the planet to do, man. Just whip stuff up out of nowhere, you know.
Well, right, I love it. Thank you both for taking the time to come on. We can't wait to get it in our hands. Thanks again, guys. And we hope to see you both back here real soon on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Take care, David. Take care, Drew. All right. And we will have links up in the show notes where you can connect with Drew and David and find out about the book and the movie and all that. So that's in the podcast version, which again, probably I might sit on the podcast version for this for a while, but we will get this up on YouTube pretty much immediately. So I think what we did last time was we left the show in full up and then I cut up the interviews. So I think we'll probably do that again.
I think that'd be great because the show today, it all kind of tied together. We talked to
flowed really well. Yeah.
Yeah. Jason and, you know, David and Drew, they all know each other. And David, of course, knows Ace. And I know, you know, all these guys, including Bryn Ahrens and Chips Enough. And so it was very, very cool. And then we even tied Emily in, who knows Jason. So it was really good.
Yeah, absolutely. So big thanks to our crew. Yeah, to the crew, Marcy and Jonathan, Andrew, Michael, everyone who's helped out. We really sincerely appreciate your help on this. And yeah, man, let's do it again. Let's do it again.
I know,
maybe this another really 2-3 weeks, we'll do another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, and most of all, thanks to everybody who was watching this. Let's see if I know we got to wrap it up, but let's take a quick peek and see what the comments are like. We got David Craig Ellis, Bob Bobbitt, Lisa Colbert, who is my friend from 1987. My Aunt Patty, Scott Marshall, Jason L., my good buddy, sometimes known as Jason the Cop. We've got John.
Oh, Jason the Cop. Marrow. I remember him from a previous episode.
Yeah, Jason the Cop. Yeah,
I was trying to scroll the YouTube thing, but my computer is.
Oh, yeah, you know, mine's acting a little weird too today. But anyway, I think we had a great show. Thanks to Ace Frehley for coming on. I just got a text from Ace, and he was happy to come on the show. And
yeah, thank you for hooking up Ace on the show. So I mean,
I've been wanting to do it for a while, but I know that. You know, Ace has been concentrating heavy duty on the studio. And when it's not like he's just sitting upstairs and there's a construction group downstairs. Ace is actually physically getting involved and he designed the whole place. And he has his vision in his head of what he wants it like. And he doesn't just direct you. He's not just producing it. He's actually physically executing it as well. That's my new favorite word, executing. And I don't mean like as in an execution. I mean like you execute the project and you get it done. And
right.
I like it.
Yeah. My work. Yeah. Cool. All right, John. Well, we will wrap it up. We will encourage everyone to connect with you on Facebook. And you're not as active on Twitter, I noticed. You don't.
No, I should be, but I'm not. I'm going to get more active on it, I think.
I'll website too, astronomy.net.
Yes, astronomy.net is my website.
A wealth of astronomy history on there. So.
Yeah, it's an astronomy historical site. Follow me on Facebook, guys. I have 6 Facebook pages. I'm going to attempt to dwindle that down to 2, but I can't get in touch with anyone at Facebook to help me with this.
Right.
And I want 2, not 6 pages. And there's John Astronomy, John Astronomy 2, John Astronomy 3, and then there's at Astronomy 2, at Astronomy 3. It's ridiculous. So there's 6 pages.
Wow. And you have to go post the same thing on each one of those pages?
Sometimes I do, yeah. And sometimes I don't post on certain pages and then I try to send out a note to everybody saying, you know, try to go to another page, but it's just a real mess. What I need to happen is I need Facebook to merge pages, which is there is such a thing as merging pages, and I'm not quite sure why I'm unable to do that myself. It's in the works. It's in the works. So I can have a personal page and a artist page. That's what I want, but not 3 personal pages and 3 artist pages.
Gotcha. All right. Well, big thanks to Jason Beeler, Ace Frehley, David Ellefson, Drew Fortier for joining us. It's been an awesome show and we will talk to you guys soon.
Okay. And thanks, Mark. I think it's a great show. Thanks, crew. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, all of you viewers and listeners. And we wish you happy holidays and all that good stuff, as Ace said. And we will see you real soon.